So we'll learn a little more in Nayim from the Likutim, because it's Hashem, we're almost by Rosh Hashanah, so this Shabbos is Rosh Hashanah. And the Moranayim says, Kedarkoi in Likutim, Tiku b'chaydesh shofar. Blow a tekiah b'chaydesh on the first day of the new month, blow the shofar, blow with the shofar. So he says, it's difficult shtickle. He says, we know that there's three things. There's Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. There's a second chelik. And Olam, Shana, and Nefesh are Oshon. So there's a famous Ravid in Sefer Yetzira who says everything in the world has a bechina of Olam, which means in space, Shana is time, and Nefesh is in the soul. Now, I must confess to you, I've studied this concept many times, but hard to really grasp it fully. I could give you a lot of examples, but I really can't. In other words, there's three equivalents. There's Olam, there's in the world, and there's in time, and then there's Nefesh in the soul. And you can try to apply that concept to Rosh Hashanah. So the Marshal, he says, the year. So there's Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year. And geographically, where is Rosh Hashanah geographically? So he doesn't say, but L'chaira, the geographic equivalent of Rosh Hashanah would have to be the Makom HaMikdash, because that's where Adam Rishon was created from. So you have Olam and Shana, space and time. In time, the beginning is Rosh Hashanah, and in space, geographically, the equivalent is under the Mizbeach, which is from where Adam Rishon was created. And in Nefesh, that means in the human being, what's the equivalent in the human body? So he says the equivalent is the moyach. The moyach, the head, the brain. Because he says, Kol Ma'isa Hashanah Negmarim B'moyach, which is Rosh Hashanah. So it's called Rosh Hashanah, the moyach of the Shana. So the nefesh means in the human soul, in the human being, the equivalent to the time, Rosh Hashanah, is the moyach of the nefesh. And I'll explain you why he says. Because Chazal tell us kulam niskar and beskirachas. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches says that when Hashem judges people in Rosh Hashanah, He judges everybody in one skir, means one look. Hashem, the Maral Diskin, the Bishulei Diskin, who was an awesome gadol, and the Beis Halevi, Yosef Beis Halevichik, who was such an awesome genius himself. When he just heard the name of the Maral Diskin, he literally started to shake and tremble. And Dor Sameach would tremble. And the whole Klal Yisrael, he was something totally out of the ordinary. And amongst his many koiches was that he could look at a tree and tell you from one glance how many leaves there were in the tree. He could look at Mr. Monk's beard and tell you how many hairs are on your beard. That would be quite a trick, wouldn't it? It's really amazing. Think about it. He can look at a brick building and tell you how many bricks there are in one shot. That's kulam niskar and beskirachas. They're all, you can see them all in one, in ein blick, in one glance. So, Rosh Hashanah is like the moyach, because in your mind, in my mind, I can see in one shot many things at once. If a mind is really functioning well, like the Maral Diskin, he's really a mind how it should be. You would have a difficulty even, I can tell you one shot how many windows there are looking at. There's 7 windows in the back. I can do that one shot. Brilliant guy. Even that's not so easy. I can tell you how many chairs are on the row. Yeah, one chair. I can look. I see five chairs. That's five. You know, it's not so much. If I was really brilliant, I could tell you how many chairs are on the room pretty quickly. But I'm not that brilliant. The Maral Diskin can tell you again how many leaves are on the tree. So I'm just showing that. But in the mind can do that. The mind grasps. I can grasp in my mind a number of 100 billion galaxies, and each one has 100 billion stars. I can say it. I can't see with my eyes. My mind, I know there's a number. The number, even though the number is too much to count individually, but I can comprehend one galaxy is 100 billion stars, and the universe is 100 billion times that. So therefore, he says, on Rosh Hashanah, since it's the Rosh, it's the Mayach, it's the brain center of the whole year, so therefore, it's Koilel everything. It has everything. And Koloi Lamais Nishavum Nekudachas. All the worlds really started from one dot. And this dot is the indivisible dot. This is the dot of Yesh Me'ayin. This is also a very hard thing to understand, because what do you mean a dot? Every dot can be divided. There's nothing in the world of Gashmias that can't be divided. So we're learning over here that it's a mystical dot, that this is a dot that is the smallest possible. Every atom can be divided into a subatomic particle. Every atom can be divided into electrons, protons, mesons, whatever else there is over there. And every electron can be divided. There's some point in matter where something cannot be divided. Again, scientifically, I don't think it exists. I'm not a big scientist. I don't think anything exists in the world that can't be divided, because by definition, so I'm saying, so that's the nes of Yesh Me'ayin. Just like we have the bone in the back of our spine, the top of our spine, which can never be destroyed, it's like invulnerable, it's not fragmentable. So too, there is a nekuda that Hashem made the world from that's indivisible. And the nekuda l'shaya shavira, and it's only shaya shavira, breaking up in letters, which human being makes, and words. But in the world of Mayach, in the beginning, in the world of beginning, it's above fragments, it's above division, it's above subdivision. So he says in Rosh Hashanah, the Tekiya Shaifer, Tekiya is Lashon Teka. Litkoya means to really shtup yourself in. In Hebrew, literally the word teka, even today, means like a peg. Litkoya means to take a peg, and it's a hard piece of ground, and you bang it in. Litkoya means to push yourself into a place which is difficult to enter, which is not easy to come into. So in Rosh Hashanah, we put ourselves in a place where we never were before the whole year. We're going, since this is the day of the Bria of Adam Rishon, it's also the climax of the Bria of the Ganze Welt, and this is the place called the Mayach. Just like in the Mayach and the mind, everything is, you can have many things, and in your mind it can be as one. You can have 100 billion times 100 billion, and your brain can at least know there's such a number, and the number makes sense. We have some way of grasping it. So too, Rosh Hashanah, we come to a place which is the highest of high. Titku atzmechen l'madrega l'yayin l'malam e'alamais shesham rachmen pshutim. K'on shahoy ha'rotzen b'schachas alamais sh'lamal mikol ha'kalkulim v'day l'maskil v'zen esboyer. What it means, the shayfer. The shayfer pushes us out of this world. We're going to a place which is out of this world, which we really cannot enter. Litkoya, a person, the word in Hebrew, litkoya means to shtup yourself a rein where you don't belong, where you really have no shaychus. Litkoya means to push yourself, to insinuate yourself, where you really did not have entree and trespass. So the godless of Rosh Hashanah is that, and that place is Rachman Pshutim. As the Mori Naim says it many times, that all of din is really a form of Rachman. Why? Because the Rachman of Hashem is unlimited. But if he wanted to make a human being, who by definition is limited, so how could that be? Din means symptom. Din means limitation for our good, because too much would drive us crazy. So if someone would come to Rabbi Gedalia and want to give you and say, Gedalia, open up your hands, I want to give you some money. And meanwhile the guy have a truck, and the truck is loaded with dollar bills, loaded with $1 million in singles, and he'll just open the truck and just push it all out on top of you, you know what's going to happen? You'd be crushed under $1 million, you're pretty heavy. And if it was $10 million, it would really be heavy, you wouldn't survive. Chas v'shalom. So, too much is not good. And too much of anything is not good. Right? So anything that's not, I don't have the vessel, I don't have the kli to accept it properly, would be damage to me. So the Rabbi Shalom Davka, his Rachmim is endless. Hashem's Rachmim has no end. But he had the Mitzamtzimit, Hashem had to limit it and lock it and restrict it for our good. So Din is really a form of Rachmim. But the fact is, it's Din. So Rosh Hashanah, which is called the Yom HaDin, we want to connect with the Moyach, with the head, with the beginning, where it's Rachman Pshutim, where it's Rachman that's spread out without any limitations, without any restrictions. That is the secret of Ki Yishayfer. Oilam, Shana, and Nefesh. Very deep concepts over here in the Mori Naim. So this brings us into the whole, into Rosh Hashanah. And we will go over to the Heilige Kedushas Levi, and see what the Kedushas Levi has to teach us about Rosh Hashanah. And he has a Gevaltige Vort here, the Kedushas Levi. And I'm looking at Chelek Rishon. Can I trouble you to get me a Gemara Yuma, please? A Gemara Yuma, with Yuma down there, and the Shas, and the Kedushas Levi is discussing the subject of Lishkas Parhedron. So the Lishkas Parhedron was where they were mafrish the Kohen Gadol 7 days before Yom Kippur. So the first Mishnah says in Masechet Yuma that Shivas Yomim, 7 days before Yom Kippur, they were mafrish, they separated the Kohen Gadol from his house, mafrish and Kohen Gadol mibeisai, lelishkas parhedron, into an office, into a chamber called lishkas parhedron. And the Gemara and the Avches and the Beis and Yuma explains what that means. Why is it called parhedron? So the reason is because every year, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, they would change Kohanim. In the second Beis HaMikdash, which was 420 years, they changed Kohanim over 300 times. Every year, Kamat, they had a new Kohen Gadol, new Kohen Gadol. So it's called Parhedron because it's borrowed from a Latin word, a Roman word, that just like in Rome, they changed the senators and the consuls like every year. So too over here, the Kohanim was getting a little ridiculous. It was like there were political hacks, and it was changing every year. No, Rashi says that the king would change them every year. By the Goyim, where the word is borrowed from, the king would change their position once every year. So the chamber where the Kohen Gadol was separated for 7 days from Yom Kippur was called the transfer chamber, because you can be sure that this year's Kohen Gadol is different than last year's Kohen Gadol. It's a new person. That's what it's called, the transfer chamber. Lishkas Parhedrin. So the question is a very obvious question. Here I learned Homosech Yuma, and I never really gave it that much. It's a very strange thing that we should use a Goyisha word to describe such a holy place, where you put the holiest Jew in preparation for the holiest day, in preparation for going to the holiest place, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and we have such a pedestrian word to describe his office, his chamber. So he says, this is where the Kedush Levi goes to a big Arichas, and he says it's a very good reason for this. And the reason is because the holiest site of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is to be reborn. And to be reborn means to be born again every day. Rosh Hashanah is a rebirth. But it's not good enough to have rebirth once a year, Rosh Hashanah. If we do Rosh Hashanah right, then we are energized to renew and reinvent ourselves every single day. And this is based on a pasuk. Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Mem Pasuk Lamed Aleph, V'koy v'yashem yachlifu koyach yalu eivir kanashorim. Those who put their hope in Hashem, they will change strength, they will transform strength. Yachlifu means they will get a new transfusion of strength every day. Yalu Eiver, they will get new wings like Nesharim, like eagles. Eagles, you know why an eagle is called a Nesher? Because the eagle sheds all of its feathers every year. It molts. And the word in the Hebrew, Nosher, means to drop. So the eagle is called the ultimate dropper because the eagles drop their feathers. That's how the Indians get so many feathers for their Indian, what do they call those Indian bonnets? The feathered bonnets. So they get them from the eagles. Because the eagles are dropping hundreds of feathers every year. A headdress, okay? So, therefore he says like this. He says the emes is that to be alive is to get a recharge every second. Because Tillim ends off, Kol Neshama, Talalka, Hallelujah. That the Chazal say, don't read the word neshama, the halakha, don't read it that the soul praises God. Rather read the word neshima, which means a breath. I'll call neshima, neshima, the halakha. Should praise Hashem on every new breath. So, really, Hashem is giving us a CPR every minute, every second. We breathe 18 times a minute. According to what we understand Chazal, there's at least 18 breaths a minute. I don't know what science says. How many breaths do you breathe a minute? When you're in the dentist chair with you, they're always gagging, you know. You want to breathe a lot. And it's hard to breathe. But it's according to Chazal, it's 18 breaths a minute, which is approximately once every 3 seconds. You take a short breath, maybe a shallow breath. Okay. So the idea is, the reason why we have these breaths all the time is to show us that to be alive, now when you're breathing in air, what do you have? You have, what's it, 80% oxygen and 19% nitrogen, a little carbon. And then when you breathe out the air, it's the opposite. It's 80% nitrogen and 20% oxygen. So you see that every breath is a transformation. You're making a major chemical transformation. How does that happen? Because the nitrogen in the body, the oxygen gets burnt out. Carbon dioxide. That what? That transforms the 80% oxygen?
Oxygen transforms into carbon dioxide.
So when you're breathing out, what are you breathing out? Not nitrogen. Carbon dioxide. So you're breathing in 80% nitrogen and 20% oxygen. 80% oxygen, 20% nitrogen. You're breathing out 80% carbon dioxide. So where's nitrogen go? You can see your car.
The tree erupts, oxidation.
Metabolism. But whatever it is, there is a chemical transformation. And trees also take in and give out. Amazing. How can you believe in evolution? The trees learned how to breathe. Trees breathe. Some of the flies are bayre. It's unbelievable. Without the trees, the whole atmosphere would be different. It's amazing. So says the Heilige Gemara Nayim, life is a second by second transformation, major transformation going on. Life is transformation. And that the reason for that is the teachers that we're supposed to change all the time and improve every second. Improvement is not in years on annual basis or a monthly basis, a weekly basis, or even a daily basis. Improvement and change is every second. Change is the essence not only of the human experience, but of the cosmic experience. You're a new person, you're Bria Chadasha. And you're like, you have new eslavas of Hashem, because nothing cools off the passion for God like being old, worn out. Stale is the antithesis of Avoida. Avoida has to be energetic and passionate and new. And that's the pshat in the positive, v'kayvi Hashem. The people who really believe in Hashem, yachli v'koyach, they're constantly exchanging strength, yalu eiver, and they are like having new organs, new wings, kinesharim. Because the nesher represents the ultimate renewal. But the truth is that I believe, every 6 months or so, or over, our skin cells change. I think about every 6 months, we have a whole new skin. Our epidermis changes every few months. In the course, we're sloughing off cells all the time. We don't really realize it. But our skin is changing. And really everything in our body really is being renewed all the time. There's statistics on this. Your veins are changing. Your arteries are changing. You have a new liver all the time. It's the liver is new liver cells. Of course it's the liver, but it's not the same liver. We are constantly renewing ourselves. You're a scientist. So the essence of life is change. And that the external demonstration is very dramatically dramatized by an eagle, which drops all of its old feathers, no share. A nesher is no share, and it gets a whole new coat of feathers periodically. So therefore, since on Yom, he says like this, it says Shivas Yamim Kaidem Kippurim, after Rosh Hashanah is over. And we have 7 days now to prepare for Yom Kippur. In those 7 days, the Gemara gives reasons why we have 7 days of separation, so that the Kohen Gadol should be separate from Tumah. But the Moreh Nayim says that the 7 days have a much deeper meaning, and it's connected to 7 Midos. There are 7 Midos of Hashem that we're supposed to learn, which are, of course, L'cho Hashem HaGdula, V'Agvura, V'Teferes, V'Neitzach, and the Hoid, Yesoid, and Malchus. There are 7 Midas. That's what they were. Gedula, that person is supposed to see the Gedula of Hashem. Hashem's greatness is not taken to myself. If I take credit to myself, I am poigame in the Midah of Gedula of the Rabban Shalom. And the second Midah is Gevura. Gevura is Yira. That if I don't have enough Yira Shemayim, that means I don't appreciate Hashem's Gevura enough, and I'm giving myself Gevura. The third Midah is Teferes, to glorify Hashem, not myself. So on the first day of the Prisha, the Kohen Gadol is Masak in the Midah of Gedula. The second day is Masak in the Midah of Gevura. The third day is Masak in the Midah of Teferes. You might be potential Kohen Gadol. And the fourth day is Masak in the Midah of Netzach, which means Netzach means victory. Netzach. We're supposed to have the power to conquer the Eitz Hara. So I work on that. The Kohen Gadol works on that on the fourth day. On the fifth day, he works on Hoyt. And that means that a person is explaining where the Hoyt goes into. That's the height of Hashem, Hashem's glory. And the sixth day is Yesoit, foundation. Now, we know sixth is foundation. Yesoit, that's Friday. Friday is Yesoit, sixth day is Yesoit. And Yesoit really, he says, has to do with relationships. the meat of Yisayit is to be kosher and davak in the Rabbi Shalom, and to be mekusher. Yisayit means not, you know, we say that when a man does not abuses his procreative force, that means he has been pegame in Yisayit. He has pegame in Yisayit. This wasting of the power of procreation and reproduction is called being pegame the Yisayit, to blemish the Yisayit. But Yisayit really means the foundation, because he's supposed to use everything we have to be, it's to be mekusher with the Rabbi Shalom. If I am akashim myself to a taiva gashmi, then I'm not so mekusher with the Rabbi Shalom. So the biggest sin is to use something which could get us very close to Hashem, and I abuse it and use this desire, this carnal pleasure to get close to my taivas and not close to the Rabbi Shalom. And the seventh is Malchus, to give Hashem the Malchus, and that the Kohen Gadol's Masak on the seventh day. So every day is a new Midah. So therefore says the Halakha Marinayah, the Kedushas Levi, that this is the reason why the Kohen Gadol is Ma'at for 7 days. And the Gemara, you wouldn't know this. The Gemara says you separate 7 days, so in case he became Tameh, he'd have time to Matayah himself. It's all different Malach, says the Kedushas Levi. The purpose is that right after Rosh Hashanah, we don't want the Kohen Gadol to lose the sense of rebirth, and we want to bring that into Yom Kippur. And therefore he's giving birth to himself again and again every day, a new Midah. And really we're supposed to give birth to ourselves every second. And we're supposed to drop the past like the eagle does. And that's why they put the Kohen Davki in this chamber called Perhedron, because Perhedron means transfer. It means changes. So the external location is a symbol of the idea of constant, like a rotation and a revolving door, that nothing is static, nothing stays the same, it's not status quo, and it's always changing. So the very chamber is an allusion to what we're trying to accomplish in the 7 days before Yom Kippur as a continuation of Rosh Hashanah. That's a very beautiful word of the Kedushas Levi. And he says in the Likutim, there are some other things from the Kedushas Levi about Rosh Hashanah. And he says like this. Zokter Azoy. Ah, this is a famous shtickle. This is a very, very Zisa shtickle. Very Zisa shtickle. There, in the Payet of Yom Kippur, of Rosh Hashanah, we say Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say, Litzoyfe Nistarais B'yayim Dehen L'kayin Avadav Baden L'rachem Amoy B'yayim Dehen Azayvaitim. So we have these three things. This is alphabetic. We have three pieces, one after the other. Tzayf Tzadi, Kuf, Resh. The Tzayf, God sees hidden things on the day of Din. L'koin Avod of Badin, Hashem purchases his servants, slaves, Badin. The Racham Amay B'yayim Din, Hashem has Rachmanis on his people B'yayim Din. Tzadi, Kuf, Resh. Says, this is a famous and beautiful shtickle. He says, Rabbi Levitzer says like this. He says, what happens is that the Medrash says that on Yom Kippur, the Satan comes to say all the affairs of Klai Yisrael. And amongst them, the Satan says, you know what? The Jews are ganavim. They're dishonest. The thieves, cheats, con artists. So Hashem, so he, the Satan, is enumerating all of the shrines of Klai Yisrael, and the Rabbi Shlomo Davka says, Zachi is of Klai Yisrael. What does that mean? He says like this. The truth of the matter is that whenever you do an Aveira, you think you're just doing an Aveira. The Aveira is an IOU. you owe God big time for this Aveira. You're going to pay. You got to pay the price for your sins, for our sins. You do an Aveira, it's not forgotten. You do an Aveira, it's like you're writing an IOU. I owe God another $1 million. I better take care of God. I owe him a lot. I sinned against him. I have to pay the penalty. And by the time Rosh Hashanah comes around, in Shemayim, there's stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks of these IOUs. So what do the tzaddikim do? So the holy, holy tzaddik, Rosh Hashanah, you know, he's looking. He goes up to Shemayim, and he steals all the IOUs. He goes into the heavenly safe and makes a heist and steals the IOU. Now, the Satan then comes to say bad things about the Rabbanu Shlom, about the Jewish people. And he accuses us of all kinds of sins. And the Rabbanu Shlom really is sympathetic to us because we're his children. So what does Hashem say to the Satan? Oh, really? Prove it. Where's the IOU? Because, you know, every time you do a sin, in heaven they write an IOU that we owe God a penalty, and we have to sign it. Yad Kaled and Yachtaim. We signed the IOU. Yes, I sinned. I did this and this and this and this day and this and this place. And it's written in our own handwriting. We signed on it. With our own favorite pen. And now, the Satan says all kinds of bad things. She says, well, where's the IOU? If it's really true, I want to see the guy, I want to see the signature. So the Satan goes into the heavenly vault. He's looking for it. And what happens? Alarm. He sounds the alarm. What's going on over here? And the Satan knows what's going on. And he realizes that who stole it? He sees the fingerprints all over the place. It was the tzaddik. Zishu went up to Shemayim and stole all the IOUs. A big, big hole. So the Satan knows who the culprit is. And he points his finger to the big tzaddik. And we know the rule is that in case he steals something, he can't pay. He has to be sold as Nevi Divri. He has to be sold as a Hebrew slave. And so, the Satan goes over to the bunch and says, you know what? Zisha, he stole all the IOUs. He can't pay me back. He destroyed them. He can't pay me back. He's got to be sold to you as a servant. Zisha says, that's great. That's exactly what I wanted. I want to be Hashem's servant. I want to be Nevi Divri to the bunch now. So he's very happy. Now, when the Satan comes along and says, okay, God, let me tell you all over again, all the terrible things Jews did. But meanwhile, Zishu loves Hashem so much, is his private servant, so he's whispering nice things about the Jewish people in Hashem's ear and says, don't listen to Hashem. This year didn't come to davening. That's what he was up this night, staying at the Mori Naim Shir. He missed davening today because he was so tired from getting up with Slichas that he took a nap and he missed Mincha. So every time the Satan says something bad about the Jewish people, Zisha, who stole all the IU notes and now has been caught and sold the Nevi Divri to the Rabbanu Shlom, whispers all kinds of explanations in Hashem's ears. Hashem is Rachmanis. Zok the Heiliger Rebbe Levi Yitzchak. That is pshat in the Payet. And we say, Litzayte Nistarais B'yayim Den. In other words, Hashem sees that Nistaris are the hidden things. Hashem sees that the tzaddikim have stolen all the IOUs of the sinning Jews. And therefore, they did this crime. God sees it. And because of that, L'koine avada avadin. The Satan sells the avadin, the tzaddikim, as an evidence to the Bashtom. Because you're stealing, you can't pay. You have to be sold for 6 years. L'rachem amai. And that's why the Rabbi Shlomo Rachman is on his people, B'yayim Din, because Zishu was sold as Hashem's personal valet, and every time Hashem gets angry at the Jewish people, the tzaddikim like Zishu whisper in Hashem's ear, no, they're not so bad, be done l'chav schus, give him another chance. So that's why it's a Racham Amai, because it's Tzayf in the Starais, that's why it's kind of Avodav, that's why it's the Racham Amam. Isn't that Zis? You hear that Zis? Beautiful. So as I took a pass for the Hele of Rebbe Yitzchak, who was called Sani Goyran Shal Yisrael, he's called the protecting angel, the lawyer, the defense angel for Klal Yisrael. So There's one last thing. I'll tell you for the Jews Levi. A lot of things Rosh Hashanah. I'll tell you this shtickle. Another famous piece from the Shmoneh Esrei is V'yei Melitz Yosher Mu Magid Pesha. I can't capture the kind of other that I can remember. V'yei Melitz Yosher. So V'yei Melitz is a famous little piece. It's a very, very, there's endless drushes on this. V'yei Melitz Yosher Mu Magid Pesha. When there's nobody to say good, to challenge the Magid Pesha, the accusing angel says bad things about us. So what happens? When it's Ve'emel Yosher Mu'ad Pesha, Tag the Yaakov, Dvar Choyke Mishpat, V'tzadkene B'mishpat. Tell Yaakov something about the law and the rules, and be Matzik us, and therefore let's come out clean and Tzadikim from the Mishpat. It's a very strange thing. Ve'emel Yosher Mu'ad Pesha. And there's nobody to say anything good about us. Against the Magid Pesha, the ones that's bad about us. So, Hashem, you should do what? You should tell Yaakov, Dvar Chayke Mishpat, Tzadkeh Mishpat. What's the pshat? So he says, we have a rule. You know, the law is that in Sanhedrin, if a person is accused of a death penalty, let's say, a person has a case of life and death. So if you go to Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin, they all say chayev, right? The halacha is if you go to the high court and all 71 members say, Zisha, that's it, you are guilty. Everyone, not one person on your side. 71 rabbis, and not one has a nice thing to say about you. And they all go thumbs down, which means, out of here. So you know what happens? The law is that you don't get executed, chas v'shalom, you go scot-free. Based in Shiro Kulum Lechayva, Paitanay Samiyad, with them out right away. That's the rule. So therefore, that's the pshat. He says, Be'ein Melitz Yoshim or Magid Pesha. If you come a situation that there's no one says anything good about us, Be'ein Melitz Yoshim, there's not one angel who can say anything good about us, Ein Melitz Yoshim, Mu Magid Pesha. The accusing angel saying all kinds of bad things, and there's not one defense angel saying anything about me. So you know what's going to happen? No problem. What's going to happen is that we'll bring out the law book, and the law book will say, if you go to Sanhedrin, and they all say Chayev, and not one person says anything good about you, it must be that there is something good about you, and something's wrong over here. So they're all disqualified, and you go out free. That's the pshat. Tell Yaakov the rule, and the rule is that they all see bad, then you're free, and therefore tzadkeh v'mishpat, make us tzadikim in the mishpat of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This is what the Helig of Levi Yitzchak says. We'll conclude with that, gentlemen. O shol v'zoicha to have a ksiva v'chasima taiva, a good convention.